Welcome to the Weekly Insight Podcast, where we break down the noise of the week and help you understand the psychology of the markets with your host, Andrew Doerr at Insight Wealth Group.
Good morning. Welcome to the latest edition of the Weekly Insight Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Andrew Doerr. I want to take a moment to thank you for joining us today, and we'll just remind you, as we do every week when we get this started, that what you're about to hear today should not be considered individual investment advice, but instead just my thoughts and our firm's thoughts on what's going on in the market and the economy. With that, let's go ahead and dive in. You know, this last week felt like one of those two steps forward, one step back moments, or maybe it was one step forward, two steps back. Either way, that seems to be like what's been happening over the last 3 years in this market. You know, you have the pandemic and drama-filled elections and insurrection at the Capitol and war in Ukraine, inflation, interest rates. There just is always something happening to interrupt any momentum we seem to be getting in the markets. And when we start to feel good about things, there always seems to be something to stand in our way. At least, that's what it feels like. And now last week, we had a twofer. You had the UAW going on strike against the big three automakers. And it became pretty clear that Republicans in Congress, or especially Republicans in the House side of Congress, are poised to shut down the federal government on September 30th. Both of those sound very scary. They sound like things that could really screw up any momentum we have. And when you put the two of them together, it seems almost panic-inducing, right? But are they really that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things? Should we be panicking and running for the hills? Or is this one of those moments where we need to steel ourselves and soldier on through? So I thought this week we would take both those things apart, learn a little bit about them, but also put some historical perspective to it so we can understand what these things have meant in the past, so we might be able to better understand what they may mean in the future. Let's start with the shutdown. Now, I'll be blunt. There is only a small group of legislators that want to shut down the U.S. government. We all know them as the House Freedom Caucus, and they are the most conservative of the bunch in the U.S. House. I don't care about their policy stances, and you shouldn't either. I mean, you can care about them when it comes to your interests in politics, but when it comes to our interests in the market and the economy, I think we have to put aside the political differences. I also think we can all agree the federal government spends way too much money. But it is important, however, to understand how the politics of this moment might potentially impact the market. With all things in Washington, we have two tracks working on this budget planning process. We have what's going on in the Senate, and we have what's going on in the House. And right now, a fascinating thing is happening in the Senate that no one is talking about. And I think that we have to talk about it because it proves that this is possible. And what is that? We have bipartisan legislation working through the Senate on the budgetary process. For the last several months, Senators Patty Murray, now she's a Democrat from Washington, and Susan Collins, the Republican from Maine, have been working together to put through spending bills in the so-called regular order. What is regular order? Put simply, it's the way legislation is supposed to be crafted. It is the work of holding committee hearings, getting committee votes done, coming up with bipartisan legislation that can go on to the full Senate for a vote. This is the way legislation has always supposed to work in the past. But it seems when it comes to the budgetary process, we wait until the last minute, we fight and scream a lot, and then we do what's called a continuing resolution at the end of September. That's not a real budgetary process. That is the process where this big bill gets thrown together in the last 24 hours, nobody reads it, and they vote on it so that nobody can say they shut down the government. Now, they are the leaders of the Senate Appropriations Committee. And in this process, they've had remarkable success. They plan to put forward three spending packages that kind of break up the three pieces of spending that have to happen in the federal government on an annual basis. And they put the first package forward last week, and it passed. 91-7. The other two plans are supposed to be coming out in the next few days. I find this hard to believe, but I have to say out loud, the Senate is doing their job. But I would also point out this, you never heard about it. Or if you did, it's because you're a government nerd who's been paying a lot of attention. Because Lord knows, nobody in the media has been talking about them just doing their job. Because that's not exciting. What is exciting is what's happening on the House side. The House side is a whole nother issue. There are 45 members of the House Freedom Caucus, and they understand the influence they have when we sit in a House that's divided by only a 10-vote margin between Republicans and Democrats. So they get it. They know they have a distinct ability to impact legislation, and they are not feeling very bipartisan. They are demanding an additional $120 billion in spending cuts beyond what the Democrats and Republicans agreed to during the June debt ceiling negotiations. Things all came to a head last week in the House Republican caucus luncheon. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy basically told his members, get in line and get something done or vote him out. And I will say, he said it in much less nice language than I just said it. But Don Bacon, who's a Republican from Nebraska, was quoted after the meeting, and he said the message was very clear. Basically, Republicans either get this done or they end up being the losers if we have a government shutdown. No offense to Representative Bacon, but here at Team Insight, we're not that concerned about the political ramifications for the U.S. House. What we are concerned about is what it means for the market and the economy. And so this last weekend, I did a little digging. I started looking back at past government shutdowns and looked at the impact those shutdowns had had on the stock market. And the results were shockingly boring. That's right, boring. We have had 21 total government shutdowns. 10 of those have lasted 3 days or longer. So I went and looked at those 10 and tracked what the stock market returns were during the life of those government shutdowns. Now, they've lasted anywhere from 3 trading days to 25 trading days, roughly. During those 10 shutdowns, the average market performance was positive 0.25%. The big outlier was the government shutdown we had in 2018. It was the longest of the government shutdowns, and it also had the best stock market return. The market was up almost 10% during that shutdown. Let's take that one out of the conversation and look at the other 9, because it is quite clearly an outlier. If you look at the other 9, the average stock market return during a federal government shutdown that lasted longer than 3 days was minus 0.86%. Bluntly speaking, the impact of a shutdown has been negligible historically. But there's another thing to consider here. We forget our history. I bet if I asked you to identify the times that we've had government shutdowns, you would all list the shutdown that we had between Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton, the shutdown in the Obama years, and the long shutdown we had under Trump. But the truth is, those only make up less than a majority of the portion of shutdowns we've had that have lasted longer than 3 days. 6 of the 10 that we've had happened in just 3 years, from 1976 to 1979. That's shocking to me. And frankly, I didn't know it when I pulled it up and started looking at it. But maybe, politicians have always been bad at this, and we've survived throughout it anyway. So that's some good news on the shutdown. Now let's talk about the strikes, because amid all of this, the UAW went on strike last week against Ford, GM, and Stellantis. Now, Stellantis is the latest international conglomerate name for the group that makes Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, etc. That all started on Friday at midnight. It is the first time that the UAW has gone on a strike against all 3 automakers at one time, and it is intended to force a better contract across the industry. Now, the demands from the union are massive. It often gets talked about they're asking for a 40% pay raise. That's not actually true. They're asking for 20% up front and 5% each year for 4 years. That actually, when you compound it, comes to a 46% pay increase. Now, the automakers have countered and offered 20%, 10% up front, and then the rest spaced out over the next 4 years. The unions are also asking to re-implement pensions and cost of living escalators in the contract terms. They've also asked for a 32-hour work week, which would force manufacturers to hire more employees and, for the UAW, grow their ranks. And now, as mentioned, the big 3 have countered with a 20% pay hike, including a year-one bump of 10%. Ford, interestingly, this week estimated that the UAW's demands would increase their per-hour labor costs from roughly $65 an hour to $150 an hour. Ford CEO Jim Farley bluntly stated that it would bankrupt the company. In the end, much of this is a negotiating tactic. The UAW is obviously asking for the moon, hoping they get something between where Ford and GM and Stellantis are today. A deal will certainly be reached at some point. The question is, how long will this go on, and what impact will the strike have on the broader economy? Right now, the answer is not much of an impact at all. Instead of going with a full strike across the industry, the UAW chose to limit the strike to just 3 plants, one from each company, and it impacts roughly 13,000 workers. The rest of the big 3 plants are open and operating. Much like government shutdowns, we've been through this before. For example, do you remember the 2019 strike that lasted 40 days and impacted nearly 50,000 GM employees? Well, more than we're seeing right now from all 3 companies? I didn't think so. You know why? Because I didn't remember it. I had to look it up. Moody's chief economist, Mark Zandi, came out this week on NPR, and he said that even if all 150,000 members of the UAW were to strike for 6 weeks, the impact to GDP would be negligible. He estimated it would take roughly 0.2% off of our Q4 GDP. We'll feel that, certainly, but it's not going to cause an economic catastrophe. This too's going to pass. And it will be forgotten to history. But right now, when you take the UAW strike, you add that on to a government shutdown, it can cause stress on the market, and it can cause stress to our psyche in the moment while we're in it, which is why it is incredibly important to remember just how strong this economy continues to be today. We are going to get through this. It just isn't going to feel very good for the next few days and few weeks. So we'll leave it there this week. As always, if you have any questions or comments or would like to talk about this, give us a call here at the office, 515-273-1333, or you can always visit us on the web at www.insightwealthgroup.com. I hope you have a fantastic week, and we look forward to touching base with you soon. Take care.
Securities offered through Arete Wealth Management, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Arete Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment firm.